immensely in this series. And our close out, hallelujah, our close out sermon for this morning is the dynamic duo. Amen. Coming from Ephesians 6, verses 17b and 18. We've read the entire scripture in its entirety earlier. So let me just read 16b and 18. And the sword. Let me just read 17 and 18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. Again, we're talking about the dynamic duo. And for those that haven't been with us, let me just quickly walk through the text on this morning as we close out to give you all a quick summary. I'm going to try to be as quick as possible. When we opened up this text, we began by discussing where our strength comes from. We began in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." This text refers to the inherent strength residing in something by virtue of its nature. Strength in this text refers to spiritual or moral strengthening. To be strong is a present imperative, which is to be carried out by the Christian soldier continually. We solidified in the first portion of Ephesians 6 and 10 that we are to inherit our strength from God, from the very nature of who God is. Well, what is the nature of God? You asked me a good question on this morning. God is sovereign. God is holy. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is immutable. God is wise. God is good. God is just. God is merciful. God is faithful. Our God is loving. God is infinitely wise. God is infinitely, unchangingly loving towards us. God is glorious. We learned about the nature of who God is, and we learned what it means to be strong in the Lord, and then we are to equip ourselves by picking up the armor. You got to know, before you pick up the armor, you got to be strengthened in the Lord so that you can carry God's armor. Amen. We understood that we have to be strong in the Lord, and then we are equipped to pick up the armor, put it on properly, and understand the significance of each piece and follow the instructions of the Lord as we prepare for a battle. I don't know about you all, but I'm glad unto God that he just doesn't throw us into battle. He doesn't just give us any old kind of armor like they tried to do David when he went to fight Goliath, and they gave him Saul's armor and it did not fit. Each and every one of us, hallelujah, when we put on the armor that is fitted for us, although the armor of God is collectively the same, it fits us all to our individual posture and position. So we thank God for that. It is our strength in the Lord, coupled with the armor that give us the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil. My brother or sister, I want to encourage you. If you have found yourself in a place where you're not able to stand against the wiles of the devil, I'm going to implore you to go back and make sure you're connected to the general and who you can gain your strength from, and make sure you're not on the full armor of God. Amen. We moved on to verses 12 and 13. Let me try and slow down. God has already got me excited. Let me slow down a little bit. We moved on to verses 12 and 13 and discussed and broke down the fact that we need to know who our enemies really are. We need to know, especially right now where we are as a country in 2020, we need to know who our real enemies are. We learned that we are at hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. Watch. And not just the enemy in regards to Satan, but every demonic principality that he has enforced to roam this earth. We learned that we are in combat with principalities. Principalities are those demonic forces that influence the affairs of humanity at a national level, impacting laws and policies. We learned that we are in combat with powers that affect affect and infect structures, systems, and the five pillars of our society: marriage, family, government, education, and church. We learned that we are also at war with the rulers of the darkness of the world. They affect the thoughts, feelings, and perceptions of humanity through mass media, music, movies, fashion, sports, philosophies, and even religious ideologies. We learned that we are at war with spiritual wickedness in high places. It influences, seduces, and falsely inspires actions, perceptions, motivations, fantasies, imaginations, and appetites through the overt or covert attack and influence of the mind of affecting believers. Family, we are at war. If there was ever a time that believers need to be aware of our real enemies, it is right now. We're in 2020. We can see the manifestation of principalities and powers at work in high places in our country, where the leader of the free country continually stokes the flames and fires of systemic racism that runs rampant in our country, while excusing the behaviors of those that commit these crimes, where those that have taken an oath to uphold the law are conveniently and consistently breaking it by living the lives or taking the lives of those they deem unworthy to coexist with, where we can see conspirators infiltrate our peaceful protests, inciting riots and causing destruction in our inner cities, and then pointing the blame on people who are already hurting and in dire need. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we see spiritual wickedness in high places, but nevertheless, hallelujah, we have been equipped to stand in this battle, that we have been equipped that we may be able to stand and be sturdy and ready for the battle despite what's going on, despite what we feel, despite what things seem like. God has equipped us for this very battle. We move from there to verse 18, where it says, God enlightened us as to what it meant to protect ourselves by girding up. We discussed the necessity of securing our loose ends. We understand that the girdle protects our loins, which is the part of the body that can open the door to fleshly desires. And if we are not careful, we will misuse and abuse it from its original intent. In the biblical context, the Apostle Paul is telling us with the girdle, we need to protect and strengthen the area that gives us stability to fight. And in the practical, he is telling us to protect the area that causes us to fall. I'm just giving us a quick recap for those of us that haven't been on the line, or maybe we just don't remember from the beginning. In verse 14b, we were blessed to understand that we have to protect our hearts, protect ourselves. We learned that the breastplate, hallelujah, is necessary for us to protect our hearts. Protecting our hearts has to be an intentional and continual action on our part, being covered in his righteousness. It is not merely referring to the physical posture of man, but the spiritual posture of man due to the justifying righteousness that was given to us by way of the cross. If that wasn't any other reason to shout, you ought to shout. You and I have been justified and deemed righteous, hallelujah, because of the cross. We learned in verse 15 that we need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it means that we as believers are to fasten our feet tightly by always being prepared to share the good news of Jesus. Listen, that joins us together. We bind our feet. We have to be ready in season and out of season, hallelujah, to share the good news of Jesus. Binding ourselves in the preparation of the gospel of peace is not an emotional decision, but it has to be an intentional act of movement. It is not enough for us to have peaceful thoughts, but we ought to move in peaceful ways. Yes, we want justice. Yes, we want things to change in this country, but God, as his believers, as the ones that represent Christ in the earth realm, we gotta at all costs be able to deny our flesh and move in peace. We must understand that although we are engaged at clearly we are not to operate in hostility. I think I need to say that again, and I need you to share that with some people later on. We are at war, but we are not to operate in hostility, not as believers of the Most High God. We move from there to verse 16, and I'm almost through my recap to discuss that we need to stand behind our faith. Amen. It is the shield of faith that protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. The shield of faith is what's needed for the seasons of our life where moving must cease. Your faith is what keeps the fiery dart of temptation that the enemy sends from making contact with you. So if you find yourself falling to temptation after temptation after temptation, I'm going to implore you, pick up your shield, put up your shield. Stop trying to look on the battlefield to see what's going on. Trust what God has already told you to do. Trust where he told you to stand. Trust where he told you to fight, and stand behind your faith. The enemy can only make contact with the fiery darts if you are not standing behind your faith. Hallelujah. Your faith is what keeps, again, the fiery darts of temptation from making contact. And not only is your faith or your shield large enough to protect you from everything, but it is able to protect everybody around you. And it also carries the insignia of the general you serve. Listen, when you put up your faith, it is a reminder to the enemy that you belong to the Lord. It is a reminder to the enemy that he has already defeated. So when he sees your faith, he sees the God that you serve, the God that is backing you, the God, hallelujah, that is carrying you, the God that is fighting this battle with you, the Jesus that has already defeated him on the cross, hallelujah. And last week, we went on to the helmet of salvation, our helmet of hope. The helmet of salvation protects our minds and thus protects us against discouragement, doubt, and desire to give up. The helmet is vital if you're going to remain focused on the instructions you have already received. The helmet protects your thoughts from being led away by the enticing and harassment of your enemy. And now we come to the end of our series with the dynamic duo, hallelujah, the sword and prayer. That dynamic duo that I'm talking about is the sword of the word and the prayer of the righteous. Hallelujah. Too often when we discuss the armor of God, we stop at verse 17 with the sword of the spirit. However, we must understand that prayer is also part of our spiritual arsenal against the enemy. We are to operate in prayer just as much as we must put on or take up every other piece of the armor. Prayer has to not only be the very spiritual air that every Christian soldier breathes, but it also is one of the manners in which we get our spiritual instruction. Listen, the sword, which is the word of God, and prayer are the offensive articles of the armor that no believer can go without. Amen. No believer should ever try to operate in this spiritual battle without the sword of the word of God or prayer. So let's look at the sword first. And subsequently, we are already at my first point, which is the fight will be up close and personal, but don't change your position. Fight with the word. Let me repeat that for you. The fight will be up close and personal, but don't you change your position. You fight with the word. In this text, the word sword is the word makaria. It was a short sword or dagger for cutting and stabbing. The fact that it was two-edged made it possible to strike on either side without changing its position in the hand. So the sword that we're talking about is not, you know, a long 6-8 foot sword that went the length of the body. This sword was about 4 to 5 inches in diameter, and it was used for up-close fighting, and it had again two edges, so that however you swung the sword, it may impact on the enemy. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. The sword of the Spirit has been crafted by the power of God, provided by the Spirit of God, for meeting the lunge of our assailant and beating him back. Listen, when I looked at this text and I was trying to understand what he was talking about, the Holy Spirit, you know, dropped in my spirit, don't be surprised when the enemy gets in your face for battle. Listen, a lot of times we are taken aback by the very presence of some things that we go through, you know, because we grew up saying things like, I'm going to put the enemy under my feet and you are defeated. Get thee behind me, right? But the Bible, although the Bible declares that we should rebuke him, there are times, hear me clearly, that God allows the enemy to get right in your face. Don't believe me? Look at Job. The enemy had to go to God, and God gave him permission to touch everything in his vicinity except his soul and except his wife. We don't talk about that. I'll talk about that a whole nother time. But out of everything that Job lost, he didn't lose the covenant he had with his wife, and he didn't allow him to touch his soul. But he got into the proximity of his life. Don't believe me? Look at Jesus. He got in Jesus' face and had upfront confrontation with the master, trying to get him to denounce what God had already given Jesus the authority to have. And just like the enemy had permission to get in Jesus' face because there was a purpose, he has permission to get up close and in battle with you. Ouch and amen. Stop falling to pieces every time you feel the heat of the enemy's breath. Stop falling to pieces every time the enemy gets too close for comfort. You better recognize, my brother and sisters, that we are at spiritual war. But hallelujah, God has given us and equipped us for what we need to up close battle. We may not like it, but just like with Jesus, we have to take heart that we can use the word. The Bible says the sword, which is the word of God. When he gets in your face, don't stop crying. Don't stop complaining. Don't start running. You fight him with the word. Amen. Listen, because the sword that we have, hallelujah, it was not fashioned with man-made materials. It was created by the master himself and gives us power to fight our enemies. Hallelujah. But it's something important that we need to get in here. The sword we are to fight with, which is, again, the word of God, but it's not in the written sense. No, the Greek term for word in this text is the word rhema. Stay with me. It refers to the spoken word of God uttered by a living voice. It refers to any sound produced by the voice which has a definite meaning. The rhema of God was spoken in the beginning of time to create the entire universe. The rhema of God was divinely spoken into the hearts and the minds of man through Holy Spirit to give us the written word of God. And God is still empowering us today through Holy Spirit to speak the word with power, just as a dagger is used and applied, as with skill and precision and natural fight. The word has been given to us to fight with skill and precision to fight the enemy. So we have to use the word carefully, precisely, expertly, applying specific principles from it to every situation. Let me break that down for you. Every time you find yourself in a situation or circumstance, every time you find yourself battling something in your health, every time you find yourself battling something in your finances, every time you find yourself battling something in your home, battling something on your job, battling something on your church, don't waste your time using regular human words to defeat the enemy. When that sucker shows up, you get the word. That's why it is important for us to know the word so that we can speak the word, not to argue with other believers, been given to the people of God, the children of God, and the soldiers of God, so that we can mature, so that we can disciple, but so that we can fight. Hallelujah. When he gets in your face, when he attacks your family, when he attacks your health, don't fall to pieces crying, Abba, Father, why me? Get in your word and say, the Bible says, I am the head and not the tail. The Bible says, I am healed by his stripes. The Bible says that the riches of the Lamb belong to the Lord. And because I am his child, the resources of heaven are stored up for me. Whatever you are going through, get in the word. I promise you, there is a word given by God for every situation and circumstance, just like Jesus fought back the enemy, hallelujah, in the garden. And when the enemy tempted him, Jesus himself said, it is written. Some of us are fighting the enemy too much in our flesh. And God is saying, I need you to change your language. You need to let the enemy know, it is written, you're already defeated. Hallelujah. It is written that Christ has already risen and defeated you. It is written that I am the beloved of God. It is written that he calls me friend. It is written that I am justified. It is written that I am redeemed. Hallelujah. It is risen. Stop falling apart. Hallelujah. When stuff starts falling apart around you, trust in the Lord, but use your word. Your word is your weapon. Hallelujah. Your word, the sword of God, has the power to not only destroy the enemy, but to beat him back. Hallelujah. I'm almost through. Listen, we got to understand that the fight is going to get up close and personal. I really want to let that point go, but God is just impressing upon my heart, because somebody has been saying, God, there's been so much stuff that I've been going through, and it is weighing me down, and it is so heavy. Why are you letting the enemy come after me? Why are you letting this stuff happen? Why am I going through? Why not you? If he can antagonize the Savior, what makes you think he's not going to antagonize you? If he can try and get the Savior to denounce his authority, what makes you think he's not going to try to get you to denounce yours? What makes you think that he's not going to try to trick you and deceive you into not understanding who you really are and what you really possess? But it is written, hallelujah, that you are the beloved of God. You have been redeemed and adopted into the household of faith. You are covered, hallelujah, with the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, I need you to know, the minute you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. So we're not waiting for him to come. He is already here, and he is already alive in us. And all you got to do when the enemy comes to try to tell you you ain't got no power, you like, you know what, I don't, but the Holy Spirit in me, hallelujah, surely does. We give God praise. Hallelujah. You got to fight with the word. Hallelujah. So you got to understand, the fight is going to be up close and personal. Don't get mad. Don't fall apart. It's going to be up close and personal, but don't change your position. That is another thing that I love, because it's double-sided. It's a two-edged sword. It doesn't matter how you hold the sword. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It don't matter how you hold the sword. It matters that you hold the sword. It doesn't matter how you hold it or how it's positioned, as long as it's in your hand. Listen, you may not know every word. I'll be the first to tell anybody, I don't know all the words. I got index cards that I write the scripture down, because my memory is not that great, and I got to write it down, but I know enough to always have the word with me, to hold the word in my heart, so that when the enemy comes up and I need a word to defeat him, I can go to the word. Hallelujah. It don't matter how you hold the word. It matters that you keep the word. Amen. And then secondly, we have to understand, prayer must be weaponized for the duration of the battle. I'm almost through. Prayer has to be weaponized, for the duration of the battle. I'm going to give you some key words real quick. Prayer means to be in God's presence in general conversation. Supplication means to petition, to beg, and to plead for a specific need, even conveying a sense of urgent request. Perseverance means persistent and doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I need to say that one again. Perseverance is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Time is the Greek word kairos, and it's not so much a succession of time, but a period of opportunity. Listen, it does not emphasize a point of time, but rather a time of space filled with all kinds of possibilities. Let me put that all together for you. Prayer is not just a time and opportunity where we come to give God our thoughts in and come just to have conversations with Daddy. No, that's part of it, but we have to understand that prayer is also a weapon that we use to outwit and to defeat our enemies. Listen, some of us, again, don't have the strategies or the tools that we need because we don't ask God to give us wisdom and discernment on how to defeat the enemy. We ask God for discernment to see him coming, but what you going to do once he there? If you're not asking God, when he get here, what do I need to do? Because don't think he ain't coming. He coming. But when he show up, God, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to defeat him? It means that we have to urgently understand that every minute of every day, we have to make an urgent request and urgent request unto the Lord for information, strategy, and power on how to defeat our enemy. And we are to be persistent in it despite the difficulties, despite the delay in achieving success. Some of us give up on our prayers because it takes too long. It doesn't look like it's going to work. We're tired of struggling. We're tired of fighting. We're tired of this and tired of that. You can be tired of everything else, but don't you dare get tired of prayer. Hallelujah. Don't you dare get tired of praying and being persistent. And watch, in time, it means the opportunity. We always have the opportunity to pray and to seek God. Amen. Both the use of the sword and the power of our prayers are ignited by Holy Spirit. We are not doing this in our flesh. We are not doing this on our own. We are not doing this in our own standing. This is to be done through Holy Spirit. Why? Because holy war cannot be carried out in our unholy strength or strategies. Let me say that again. We are in a holy war, and we cannot carry out a holy war with unholy strength or strategies, but only, hallelujah, through power and wisdom of Holy Spirit. Listen, your prayer is the weapon in our arsenal that both operates offensively as we go to the Lord in general conversation with him to draw closer to him and gain direction, and defensively against the enemy at all times and for all people. Your prayer ain't just about you, boo. You got to be praying to God for wisdom and strategy for you, for your mate, for your kids, for your mama, for your daddy, for your sister, for your brother, for the people that don't like you, for that coworker, everything and everybody connected to you. You got to ask God for strength and discernment and strategy to help them fight. We are collectively as a body of Christ at war with one enemy, not each other, but the enemy. Hallelujah. Listen. Oh, Lord, help me today. Whew. There is never a moment that we should not utilize the opportunity to pray for ourselves and others. I don't care what you're going through. That's what the writer meant in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, to pray without ceasing. Again, prayer is not some cute time we spend with the Lord just sharing our heart's desires. No, prayer is the Prayer is the time when we get into war mode, when we get into strategy mode with us and the Lord, where he can download into you what you need to fight the enemy, what scriptures you're going to need to get through the day. This is why you can never afford not to daily be in his presence, not to daily read his word, not to daily, hallelujah, conversate with him. Why? Because the enemy changes his strategies all of the time, and some of us are defeated because we're fighting a new fight with old strategies, and the enemy is always one-upping us because he done changed up, brother, did his work. He done scoped us out. He done checked out how what changed about us, what we like, what things have changed about our personalities, how we have grown, how we have matured, and we still trying to fight him at a baby level. Nuh-uh, hon. You got to stay in God's presence so he can tell you he ain't gonna come over here this today. He not gonna come like he did last week. He's coming with a new person. He's coming with a new strategy. He's coming with a new demon. He's coming with something different. He ain't going to attack your mind today. He's going to try that heart. He ain't going to attack your heart today. He's going to try your loins. No, he ain't going to attack you today. He's going to attack that spouse. No, he ain't going to attack the spouse. He's going to attack that kid. No, he ain't coming after the kids today. He's going to try you through that coworker. This is why you got to always be in God's presence and getting the strategies, because God sees how the enemy is coming, and he gives us discernment. But not only does he give us discernment, he gives us strategy to defeat him. Listen, we are at a war spiritually, and right now in 2020, it is manifesting itself physically. But on this Pentecost Sunday, we must understand, hallelujah, that when we pick up the word and we keep the word and we weaponize prayer, hallelujah, you gotta weaponize prayer. But we got to be on one accord. That's what the day of Pentecost was about. That's what these protests ought to be about. That's what seeking justice ought to be about. On one accord. Fighting the good fight of faith on one accord for all brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. We got to be on one accord. The move of the Holy Spirit back then manifested on them in a great way, not simply because of their physicality, but because of their posture. My brothers and sisters, what is our posture on today? Are we armored up? Have we weaponized our prayer? Are we on one accord? We always want to be super religious on Pentecost. God, send a mighty rushing wind. God, do this. God, do a mighty move. God, already, we already experienced Pentecost. We're not getting that again. The Holy Spirit ain't going to fall down on the apostles again. He did it already. He's trying to rise up, hallelujah, and believers now. We waiting for God to recreate what he did. It doesn't say in the Bible that Jesus is going to send a mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit again. No, when you confess the Lord with your mouth and believe it in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord, you got the Holy Spirit. He ain't going to come falling down on nobody again. So I don't know why we keep saying every Pentecost, God move like a mighty rushing wind. No, you ought to be praying every day, God move like a mighty rushing wind in my life, because I already got your spirit. Hallelujah. But we got to be on one accord. You got to be praying for the Spirit to be moving through you. I got to be praying for the Spirit to be moving through me. Not for your agenda, not for my agenda, but for the agenda of the kingdom. Hallelujah. They received the Holy Spirit because they were on one accord. We can operate in the Spirit when we get back on one accord. We must rise in unity and believe in what God has said. Listen, there needs to be, there has to be a holy sound going up from the earth to the heavens today. On this Pentecost Sunday, I admonish you, no matter what you do, pick up your word, weaponize your prayer, and send up a sound unto heaven today. There is unjust in the land. The people of God need to send up a sound. There is injustice. The people of God need to send up a sound. The spiritual principalities are in high places. The people of God need to send up a sound. This pandemic is still roaming this earth. The people of God need to send up the sound. Hallelujah. Our homes today. No more crying out because we don't understand. We got to cry out for the sound so that there can be a release of power, a release of peace, a release of strength. We are waiting for a sound, but Pentecost and the Holy Spirit has already come. God has already sent his power. Now as believers, we got to walk in that power. I admonish you today. Pick up your sword. Weaponize your faith. And then you send up a sound in heaven. You tell Daddy with urgency what you need. You let him know with urgency what we need to be released in the land for your life and for everybody else. You send up a sound. Stop waiting for God to send it down. Hallelujah. When we send up the sound, there will be a release from heaven. He ain't sending a spirit no more. He's already in us. Send up a sound. Woo. Hallelujah. Pick up your word. Pick up your word. Pick up your word and open your mouth. It said rhema. Hallelujah. The word rhema meant they had a defining meaning. Stop having useless chatter and useless talk and speaking defeat. Speak the word. Open your mouth. Stop letting the enemy close your mouth because you are afraid or you are unsure or you feel like I'm a babe in Christ. God don't want to hear none of that in this season. Get the word and open your mouth. Speak the word over every situation. Weaponize your prayer on today. You're not some defeated little punk in this army. You are an armored up spiritual warrior. I need to speak that into somebody. You keep dealing with this depression and frustration and anxiety and woe is me. God said, cut it out. You are a warrior. Woo. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what they spoke over you. I don't care what they said about you. You are a warrior. Pick up your sword. Woo, and send up a sound. Send up the sound. Send up the sound. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Send it up. Stop waiting for it to come down. Send it up. Hallelujah. I'm done. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Send up the sound. God is saying, why are you still waiting for me? When you confess my son, I gave you what you needed. Send up the sound. Hallelujah.